Just a note about this one word, vilas. He's your vilas expansion. There are various kinds of expansions of the Lord. The expansion technology is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. Various kinds of expansions. Here, it's enough to say that the Prakash expansions of the Lord are the expansions that are identical in appearance. When Krishna expands himself as 16,108 to marry that many queens, or when he expands himself in the rasa dance, these are all identical expansions, so they're Prakash expansions. The Bilas expansions are physically a little different from Krishna. So Lord Balaram is a Bilas expansion because Krishna is black and Lord Balaram is white. And similarly, Narayan is a Bilas expansion. Krishna has two hands, Narayan has four hands, and so on. So therefore, Teya Tomar Vilash, these expansions are of Narayan are your Vilas expansions, or these expansions of the Purusha avatars who are emanating from Narayan are Vilas expansions.
Ateva Brahmavakye Paravyom Narayan Teho Krishner Vilash E Tattva Viboran.
Therefore, according to the authority of Brahma, the Narayan, who is the predominating deity in the transcendental world, is but the vilas feature of Krishna. This has now been conclusively proved.
E shlok tattva lakkham bhagavata shar paribhasha rupe ihar sarvatradikar.
The truth indicated in this verse, text 30, goes way back. I guess that's Brahma's verse. Yeah, that's the verse spoken by Lord Brahma, that you, saying that you're the original Narayan. The truth indicated in this verse is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. This conclusion through synonyms applies everywhere. Brahma Atma Bhagavan Krishner Bihar E Arta Na Jani Murkha Arta Kore Ar. Not knowing that Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are all features of Krishna, foolish scholars speculate in various ways. Okay, now we come to this verse. Avatari Narayan Krishna Avatar Teha Chaturbhuj Iha Manusha Akar Avatari Narayan Krishna Avatar Teha Chaturbhuj Iha Manusha Akar. Someone else. Avatari Narayan Krishna Avatar.
Avatari Narayan
Krishna Avatar.
Deho Chaturbhuja Iha
Okay, I don't want to chant it too many times because this is the conclusion we reject. Because Narayan has four hands, whereas Krishna looks just like a man, they say that Narayan is the original God, whereas Krishna is but an incarnation. Purport. Some scholars argue that Narayan is the original personality of Godhead, of whom Krishna is an incarnation, because Sri Krishna has two hands, whereas Narayan has four. Such unintelligent scholars do not understand the features of the Absolute. Going where? Okay. We hope you're happy there. Okay. Good. So these unintelligent scholars don't understand the features absolute. Okay, you're not as happy as we hoped. Bye-bye. The door. Please close the door. Thank you. They say that the greatest invention of man is the wheel. I think it's the door.
E mate nana rupa kore purva paksha tahare Nirjitye Bhagavata Pajadaka.
In this way, their arguments appear in various forms, but the poetry of the Bhagavatam expertly refutes them all.
Varanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajgana madvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjate.
Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that it is non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahma, localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead. Purport, this is a text from Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11.
Shuno, bhai, e shlok, Karaha bichar, eka mukya tattva, teen tahar prachar.
My dear brothers, kindly listen to the explanation of this verse and consider its meaning. The one original entity is known in his three different features.
Advaigyan tattva vastu, Krishner sarup, Brahma Atma Bhagavan Teen Tar Rup.
Lord Krishna himself is the one undivided absolute truth, the ultimate reality. He manifests himself in three features as Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam cited above, the principal word Bhagavan indicates the personality of Godhead, and Brahma and Paramatma are concomitants deducted from the absolute personality, as a government and its ministers are deductions from the supreme executive head. In other words, the principal truth is exhibited in three different phases: the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan, is also known as Brahma and Paramatma, although all these features are identical. Well, this is a crucial verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, much discussed, much deserving discussion. I don't think I'll comment further about it at this point.
Eish loker arte tumi hoilo nirbachan ar ekashuno bhagavater bachan.
The import of this verse has stopped you from arguing. Now listen to another verse of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ete chang sakala pungsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge.
All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Purport. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28 definitely negates the concept that Sri Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu or Narayan. Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, the supreme cause of all causes. This verse clearly indicates that incarnations of the personality of Godhead, such as Sri Ram, Nrisimha, and Varaha, all undoubtedly belong to the Vishnu group, but all of them are either plenary portions or plenary portions of plenary portions of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna.
Shab avatare avatarer kori samanya lakkhan tar madhye Krishna chandrer korila ganan.
The Bhagavatam describes the symptoms and deeds of the incarnations in general and counts Sri Krishna among them.
Tabe suta goshai mone pa bharabhai abharabhai jar ye lakantaha koila nishchoy.
This made Sri Suta Goshami greatly apprehensive. Therefore, he distinguished each incarnation by its specific symptoms.
Avatar shab purusher kala angsha swayam bhagavan krishna sarva avatangsha.
All the incarnations of Godhead are plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatar. But the primeval Lord Sri Krishna is Sri Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all incarnations. The Lord expands as the Purusha avatars, and from the Purusha avatars, these incarnations appear, the avatars who descend on this world descend through the Purusha avatars. Krishna expands as Baldev, Baldev expands as Sankarshan, and so on and so on and so on. We get to the Purusha avatars, and then from the Purusha avatars, we get Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, and so on. So they're all portions or portions of portions, and they're described in the first canto. But in this list, Sri Suta Goswami wants to distinguish Krishna from all the rest. He mentions Krishna and Balaram in the list, but he wants to distinguish them, and therefore he uses this word two. Ete chamsa kala pungsa. All of them are either angsha, portions of the absolute personality of Godhead, or kala, portions of portions. Two, but Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the personality of Godhead himself. That's the statement of Kaviraj Goswami, of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the those whom Kaviraj Goswami refers to as the speculators, the arguers, they'll say, no, Narayan is the original. And Krishna is the avatar of Narayan. So Kaviraj Goswami says, here's a verse for you. Ete chamsa kala pumsa Krishna stu bhagavan svayam. Now then, the speculators don't want to give up so easily, so they have an answer.
Purva paksha kohe tomar
bhalo tab yakyan parabhyam narayan svayam bhagavan.
An opponent may say, this is your interpretation, but actually the Supreme Lord is Narayan, who is in the transcendental realm. Teya ashi Krishna rupa rupe koren avatar e artashloke deki ki arbichar. He, Narayan, incarnates as Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of the verse. As I see it, there's no need for further consideration. Case closed.
Tare kohe, kene kar
kutarka anuman,
shastra virudharta kabu na hoy praman.
To such a misguided interpreter, a person who has kutark, bad logic,
shastra virudharta, we say, why should you suggest such fallacious logic?
An interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principles of Scripture. This is a very good line. An interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principles of Scripture.
There may be room for interpretation when something is not clear. The classic example given is that there's a quarter on the Ganges. There's a residential quarter on the Ganges. Somebody says, wait a second, Ganges is water. How can there be a residential quarter on the Ganges? This doesn't make any sense. So then the interpretation is given, explanation is given, that on the Ganges means on the bank of the Ganges. On the Ganges means on the bank of the Ganges. We say someone's living on the Ganges. It doesn't mean he has to have a houseboat. He's living on the side of the Ganges. So this kind of interpretation, when something is not clear, is allowed. But the kind of interpretation that stands Scripture on its head is not allowed. The kind of interpretation that winds up giving you something completely contrary to the scriptural conclusions has to be rejected. Has to be rejected. I was thinking about this in terms of various sectarian arguments within the greater Vaishnav community, where people pull out one word, two words, maybe on a good day, five words, and they've got a whole new philosophy, something novel, something never before seen, and it's all proven, because all you have to do is take these one or two or five or seven words and put your interpretation on it, and now you have a new truth that everyone else is trying to deny or hide. Shastra virudharta kabu na hoy praman. But when you come up with something which is contrary to the principles of Shastra, Shastra virudharta, a meaning which is Shastra virud, against the conclusions of Shastra. What is that? Rupanuga virudhapa siddhanta dvantaharane. Apasiddhanta.
something which is against the conclusions of Shastra, then it's rejected. Then it's rejected. Shastra virud. So Shastra virud harta, meaning which is contrary to the conclusions of Shastra, no hai praman, that's not evidence. That's not evidence. I don't care what kind of evidence you call it, you know, how many hits you have for it or whatever you want to say. But you come up with something which is against the principles of Shastra. Out. Out. Rejected. 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 Your interpretation, all right, you want to interpret something, it's not clear. Your interpretation has to line up with Shastra. Then it's all right. Then it's all right. Something's not clear, you give an explanation, the explanation checks out with Shastra, you're on safe ground. It's against Shastra, goodbye. Kutark, bad logic. It gets put in the Kutark bin. The Kutark bin. Rejected. So, very good little line here. Bookmark it. Anuvadam anuktva tu na videham udirayet na hyalabdha spadam kinchit kutrachit pratitishtati. Now Kaviraj is going to give a grammatical argument. An argument from grammar. These days, grammar doesn't count for anything very much. But in Sanskrit composition, your grammar or your proper construction matters. Where things are and why they are there tells you something. So he states a principle here. Rhetoric rather than grammar, really. One should not state a predicate before its subject, for it cannot thus stand without proper support. Purport. This rhetorical rule appears in the Akadashi Tattva, 13th canto, in connection with the metaphorical use of words. An unknown object should not be put before the known subject, because the object has no meaning if the subject is not first given. Okay. How's your grammar and rhetoric these days? The subject is, everybody knows what a subject is, the grammatical subject of a sentence. I went home, so the subject is I. And the predicate of the sentence, in this case, is the rest, went home. Home is the object of the verb, and the verb and the object together constitute the predicate of the sentence. You remember all that from grammar school, don't you? I thought you did. Especially since we all know that the British are so much better educated than the Americans, it almost goes without saying that you're all familiar with this stuff. Okay. Subjects and predicate. So the rule is you don't state the subject last, you state the subject first. The subject comes first, then comes the predicate. That makes sense. Not backwards.
Anuvad na kohihe na kohiya na kohibidhe. Age anubad kahi paschad vite.
If I do not state a subject, I do not state a predicate. First I speak the former, then I speak the latter. And he'll explain. Videha, videya, kahi e tare, je bashtu agyata, anubad kahi tare, je hoi gata. The predicate of a sentence is what is unknown to the reader, whereas the subject is what is known to him. If I say, I went home, I'm known, but what I did is not known. So you're going to say something about me. I what? I went home. Otherwise, went home I
is a little backwards. Yeah, you'll ask the question, went home who, what? Went home I, huh? So first you state the subject. If you don't speak a subject, you don't speak a predicate. That's what Kaviraj Goswami is saying here. The known comes first, then the unknown. Now he gives his own example, better than mine, of course.
Yaiche kahi e bipra parama pandit bipra anubad ihar vidheya panditya.
For example, we may say, this vipra is a greatly learned man. In this sentence, the vipra is the subject, and the predicate is his erudition. Vipratva vikyatatar panditya agyata ata eva vipra age panditya paschata. The man's being a vipra is known, but his erudition is unknown. Therefore, the person is identified first and his erudition later.
Some devotee comes. This is Krishnadas. Oh, hi, Krishnadas. Krishnadas is a great pundit. So I knew that there was Krishnadas, but I didn't know that Krishnadas was a very learned devotee. So first you start with Krishnadas, and then it moves to something about Krishnadas. So that's his argument. This vipra is a very learned pundit. So we know the vipra is there, but we didn't know. This woman is the Queen of England. We knew she was a woman, that was obvious, but we didn't know she was the Queen of England. So we start with what's known, then we come to what's unknown. So many of the examples could be multiplied. But first we start with what we know, then we come to, we fill in the blanks. So many things. Yeah, that's clear, right? Yeah.
Taiche iha avatar shabhoilo gyata kar avatar evashtu avigyata.
In the same way, all these incarnations were known because they were just listed. But whose incarnations they are was unknown.
Ete shabde avatare avatare age anubad purusher angshapache idheya sangbad.
First the word ete, these, establishes the subject, the incarnations. Ete chamsa kalapumsa. Now the first word is these. That's going to be the subject of the statement.
These incarnations. Then, plenary portions of the Purusha avatar follows as the predicate.
Ete chamsa kala pumsa. First, we have these. Then we have something about these. They're amsa and kala.
Taiche krishna avatar pitare hoilo gyata tar vishesh gyanam she avigyata.
In the same way, when Krishna was first counted among the incarnations, specific knowledge about him was still unknown.
Atev Krishna Shabda Age Anuvad Swayam Bhagavata Piche Vidheya Samvad.
Therefore, first the word Krishna appears as the subject, followed by the predicate, describing him as the original personality of Godhead.
Ete, chamsa kalapamsa.
All of these are incarnations, parts or parts of parts.
Krishnastu bhagavan svayam.
But Krishna, subject, is bhagavan svayam, the original personality of Godhead.
Krishner, Swayam Bhagavata iha hoilo sadhya, Swayam Bhagavanir Krishnatva hoilo padhya. This establishes that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. The original personality of Godhead is therefore necessarily Krishna. If A equals B, B equals A. Krishna jadi angsha haita angshi narayan tabe viparita haita suter bachan. Had Krishna been the plenary portion of Narayan, the primeval Lord, the statement of Suta Goswami would have been reversed. Narayan angshi ye swayam bhagavan teha shri krishna aiche karita vyakyan. Thus he would have said, Narayan, the source of all incarnations, is the original personality of Godhead. He has appeared as Sri Krishna. Brahma pramara vipralipsha karana patava karana patava arsha vigya bhakye nahi dosha eshaba. Mistakes, illusion, cheating, and defective perception do not occur in the sayings of the authoritative sages. Basically, he's saying the statement's right. Don't try to get out of it by saying that Vyas composed it wrong. He knew what he was doing. He put the subject first, the predicate second. He put Krishna first, then the information that he's Bhagavan Swayam. He didn't say that Bhagavan also appears as Krishna. Don't try to attribute it to an error in the verse. And now he's mentioning the four kinds of errors. Srimad Bhagavatam has listed the avatars, the plenary expansions of the Purusha, and Lord Krishna appears among them. But the Bhagavatam further explains Lord Krishna's specific position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, reason and argument establish that his position is always supreme. Had Krishna been a plenary expansion of Narayan, the original verse would have been differently composed. Indeed, its order would have been reversed. But there cannot be mistakes, illusion, cheating, or imperfect perception in the words of liberated sages. Therefore, there is no mistake in this statement that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Sanskrit statements of Srimad Bhagavatam are all transcendental sounds. Srila Vyasadeva revealed these statements after perfect realization, and therefore they are perfect. For liberated sages like Vyasadeva never commit errors in their rhetorical arrangements. Unless one accepts this fact, there is no use trying to obtain help from the revealed scriptures. Brahma refers to false knowledge or mistakes, such as accepting a rope as a snake or an oyster shell as gold. Pramada refers to inattention or misunderstanding of reality, and vipralipsa is the cheating propensity. Karana patava refers to imperfectness of the material senses. Karana means senses. There are many examples of such imperfection. The eyes cannot see that which is very distant or very small. One cannot even see his own eyelid, which is the closest thing to his eye. And if one is disturbed by a disease like jaundice, he sees everything to be yellow. Similarly, the ears cannot hear distant sounds. Since the personality of Godhead and his plenary portions and self-realized devotees are all transcendentally situated, they cannot be misled by such deficiencies. Now, this is a brief discussion of the four defects of the conditioned soul. The tendency to make mistakes. We mistake a rope for a snake. We mistake an oyster shell for gold because it glitters underwater. Pramada. We fall into illusion, we're not paying attention, and we get it wrong. We thought the light was green, but it was red. Illusion. vipralipsa, the famous cheating propensity, which is all over the place, especially in Kali Yuga, and imperfect senses. And Prabhupada gives pointed examples of imperfect senses. So with these four defects, the knowledge will be defective. But the transcendental knowledge given by the sages is reliable. So it was done right. That's basically what he's saying.
Virudharta kahatumi kahite kar rosha tomar arte avimrishta vidhe angsha dosha. You say something contradictory and become angry when this is pointed out.
Familiar kind of response.
Your explanation has the defect of a misplaced object. This is an unconsidered adjustment.
So you came up with this argument, sounds good at first, but when we look at it, it falls apart because it's rhetorically backwards. That's Kaviraj Goswami's statement.
Yar Bhagavata hoite anyar Bhagavata swayam Bhagavan shabdir tahaite satta.
Only the personality of Godhead, the source of all other divinities, is eligible to be designated Swayam Bhagavan, or the primeval Lord. Let's see.
Deepa hoite yoiche bahu deeper jwalan mul eka deep taha koriye gonon. When from one candle many others are lit, I consider the one the original. Purport, the Brahma Sanghita, chapter 5, verse 46, states that the Vishnu Tattva, or the principle of the absolute truth, absolute personality of Godhead, is like a lamp, because the expansions equal their origin in all respects. A burning lamp can light innumerable other lamps that are not inferior. But still, one lamp must be considered the original. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself in the plenary forms of the Vishnu Tattva. But although they are equally powerful, the original powerful personality of Godhead is considered the source. This example also explains the appearance of qualitative incarnations like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. According to Srila Jiva Goswami,
Shambho stu tamo dishtanatya kadja la maya sukshma dipa shika staniyasya natata samya.
The Shambhu Tattva, or the principle of Lord Shiva, is like a lamp covered with carbon because of his being in charge of the mode of ignorance. The illumination from such a lamp is very minute. Therefore, the power of Lord Shiva cannot compare to that of the Vishnu principle.
The departure age, what is that? Tashantaram abhyupeta dipayate samana dharma.
Krishna is the original, everyone else is expanded from Krishna. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Any questions?